Today we want to focus on this thought. Listen very carefully. When we live godly lives and pray with fasting, the yokes are broken, healing quickly appears, and our prayers are answered. And that's the word of God, and I'm going to read it to you. When we live godly lives, let me know you need to repent of your sins and change the direction you're going. When we live godly lives and pray with fasting, the yokes are broken, healing quickly appears, and our prayers are answered. An ungodly lifestyle, folks, can cancel out the results of our prayer and fasting. But godly fasting produces blessing and deliverance. Listen to this, Isaiah 58:3. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves? And when they humbled themselves, they did that with fasting. That's how they did it. Why have we humbled ourselves with fasting and you have not noticed? Your fasting, verse 4, your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and in striking each other with wicked fist. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. There's things sometimes we need to repent of even before we start praying and fasting. Make sure our hearts are right toward God and toward the people around us. God says your fast is not working because you're full of selfish ambition, strife, and wickedness. God expects us to live a godly life. If we obey his voice, these blessings will come on us and overtake us, according to Deuteronomy 28. If you obey my voice, these blessings will not might come on thee and overtake thee. Bless, bless, bless. And so we need to ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and anoint us to do his word when you give and when you pray and when you fast and when you go to church and all the other dues. Fasting can produce victory and healing. That's one reason there's a great anointing in this place for healing. Isaiah 58 verse 6 says, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen to loose the chains of justice and undo the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? That's how you break everything off of you you don't want on you, is through praying and fasting. He actually asks the question, is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? He wants to set us free from every bondage and every stronghold and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. How many feel like you're oppressed by the devil or depressed? You can be set free today in this service just by sitting right there where you are if you believe Jesus Christ. Amen. To set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. We're fasting and it benefits people who are not fasting. You need to be a part of this service even if you're not fasting. But it'd be better if you do, as God directs you. Fasting is designed to set the oppressed free and to break every yoke. Verse 7, this is what I just read a few minutes ago. Is it not to share your food with the hungry? I mean, if you're a greedy person, fasting and prayer is probably not going to do you a whole lot of good. The first thing you need to pray about is getting rid of that greed and become generous. Amen. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? God says, while you're fasting, I expect you to be generous and not be greedy. Verse 8, when you pray, when you fast, when you give is what Jesus said. But verse 8, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear when you fast for the right reasons, repent of your sins, and you're generous to give to needy people and obey God with the money you have. It says, then your light will break forth with dawn. Now, some people say, well, I fasted and nothing happened. Well, have you repented of your sins, number one? Have you quit abusing and mistreating people? Are you living a godly life? Are you as mean as a junkyard dog? I mean, God wants us to repent and make things right. He wants us to fast and pray, and he wants us to be generous. He wants us to be like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Then your light will quickly Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Say, healing quickly appear. Healing quickly appear. Say it again. Healing quickly appear. I just make sure you get it. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. God will make you righteous and holy before him because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, then you will call and the Lord might answer. Oh, I've actually been there for a minute. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here am I. He doesn't say, I don't have time to mess with you. When you call on him, he's listening. As a matter of fact, God initiates your prayer time. Jesus said, behold, I stand before the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into them and sit with them. He's initiating. You don't have to hunt up God. He's hunting up you. You just need to respond and do what you're asked to do. Amen. Somebody say amen. I don't have to chase God down. He's chasing me down. I just need to submit. Amen. And be a doer of the word. You see, verse 11, the Lord will guide you always. Do you want that? Then you need to be a doer of the word. All of it. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. He says, if you'll fast and pray the right way for the right reasons, I'll meet every need you got. I didn't say that. He said it. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. When we fast and pray, the yokes are broken. Healing quickly appears, and our prayers are answered. Through prayer with fasting, the Lord satisfies our needs. After the fast last year, well, during the fast last year, I like to have a week when I do a 40-day fast to get off by myself, just me and Jesus. And sometimes I drive down like to Pigeon Forge and get a cheap room. And they're cheaper this time of year, you know, and spend a week there praying and fasting and seeking God by myself. And just as I drove into the parking lot last year, the van ran hot. And by the time I got into the parking space there at a hotel, the thing was running on two cylinders. And I thought, man, I have totally burned this engine up. And so I stopped as quick as I could, told the manager. We've become friends over the years, and I told him what had happened. And he sent his maintenance man out there, and he helped me put water in it. And I don't know what happened, but that van has not run hot from that day to this. But I think God was trying to get my attention because the van this year is 20 years old. I still got it. I'm keeping my van. Dottie said, you need to get rid of that van. I said, I'm not getting rid of Anna. That's what we call the Van Vanna. And so, but that got my attention. I need to be able to, when people need me, I need to be able to get there. And I might need another vehicle. So I had this old Cadillac that Dottie wore out years ago. My brother bought it at auction for half price when it was less than a year old. And I'm not going to say it's a good car because it wasn't. But I drove it a lot just to save miles on my van. And this crazy car, it shut down right in the middle of traffic. Now, a lot of these new cars, modern cars, they're designed to shut off at every red light, you know. But this shut off on its own. And so I had a funeral in Athens. And the funeral director got the time mixed up. And he was supposed to call really Lynn and let her know exactly the time, and Lynn helps me plan my schedule and everything, and so he forgot to call. And so Wednesday morning, I said, man, I should have heard something by now. I said, Lynn, call the funeral home and see what's going on. And they said, well, the funeral is at, I think it was 12 o'clock or something like that, and it was like an hour. It was an hour before the funeral. I was here, wasn't dressed, and about an hour away. How are you supposed to do that? And I got to thinking, the only thing I can trust to drive is this old Cadillac, and I don't know what it's going to do. So I hopped in and said, God, you got to hold this thing together because I got to go. And they told me they would try to delay things 15 minutes until I got there. And I got dressed as fast as I could, hopped in that old Cadillac, and it was, older than the van. And it had problems since the day we got it. And so I took off, man, as fast as I could get that thing going, and trying to watch out so I didn't get a ticket. Praying God, hold this thing together. And I made it, did the funeral. And it's like the Lord says to me, it's time that you got a new vehicle. I was planning to drive both of those vehicles the rest of my life. God has a plan. And this started during the fast. And God began to speak to me. So I went over to, I bought the van over here from the folks at Rice GMC. And I've gotten to know them over the years, really good people. They've always been good to me anyway. And I went in and talked to the owner. I know the owner. And I said, I think I need a vehicle. And he tried to sell me a Buick SUV. And I liked it. But I just didn't feel peace about that's what God wanted me to have. I started looking at the Yukons. And then I looked at the price. I said, oh, my God. There's no way I'd afford one of these things. But I just felt in my spirit like, that's really what you need. And it's big. It seats 8 people, even the shorter one. And I got grown kids and grandkids and stuff, and sometimes church people to take places. And I got to praying about that. And I said, well, where's these Yukons? They said, we don't have any. I said, why don't you have any? He said, they're all sold. So we can't get them fast enough. So we got a wedding list now of about 5, 6, 7 months. But you got to be kidding me. And so I just parked out back behind the dealership there, sitting there at a door. And I think, Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? How many know God knows what you need to do? So I'd gone in and asked him. I said, is the owner here? No, he's not here. I said, we expect him back? Well, not he may drop in, but no, we don't expect him to be back today. So I just sat in the old Cadillac, sitting by that door, and I'm thinking, God, what am I going to do? What do you want me to do? I felt like God was telling me to do something. And you need to hear from God before you act. And all of a sudden, the owner come bouncing out that door. Whoa, he must have come in, you know. And he saw me sitting there in the car, and he ran over and knocked on the window. He said, hey, how you doing? I said, well, I'm doing pretty good. But I said, I've been looking at that Buick. But I said, I feel like what I really need is Yukon, and you don't have any. He says, well, let me tell you. He said, I'm placing an order for 3 Yukons, the shorter one, not the XL. And if you want one of them, I'll order you one right now, and it'll be here in 3 or 4 weeks. I said, let's talk. So I went in, and can y'all see the hand of God on this? And so I went in, and we started talking. I said, these things are expensive. And he said, well, you can leave things off because I'm ordering my own vehicle. And so I left the sunroof off and some other expensive things, got the price down where I felt like I could make it happen, me and Jesus. And I bought it, and it's sitting out there right now. It's the best driving machine I ever have driven. And it was designed for me. And while they were building it, I prayed over it every day. Lord, let every part be perfect. Let every part be installed perfectly. And I got to pray over it. It's my vehicle designed for me by God. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I get so excited about fasting, because God does great things. It's right after a fast when God spoke to this billionaire to give us $1.6 million. I mean, fasting and praying has really worked, and you wonder why I keep doing it. I'm afraid not to. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I got so excited. Where was I? Oh, Joel chapter 1, verse 14. Listen to this. This is what we're doing. Declare a holy fast. Call a sacred assembly. Summon the elders and all who live in the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. You see, the purpose is to cry out to God. The purpose is to pray, meditate on His Word, build your faith, and believe God. But fasting is a booster. I don't know any other way to describe it. I don't totally understand it, but I know it makes a difference. And I know it made a difference for all these people in the Bible. Even in the New Testament, Jesus Himself fasted 40 days. You see, we have called a sacred assembly to cry out to God. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says, These lights are bright, and I got a crease in my paper. And when I get to that crease, the light hits it, and I just can't hardly see it. Okay, so forgive me. Okay, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. I don't know if you have realized this or not, but I cut and paste all these scriptures right in front of me so I don't have to stop and look them up. Isn't that brilliant? So you can tell everybody, he did one brilliant thing. Anyway, Joel chapter 12, verse 2, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. You see, it says with fasting and repentance. Right back to the first thing we read. We must repent. Anything that's not pleasing to God. Listen, some people may be able to do things that God tells you not to do. And you can't just sit back and say, well, they do it, I can do it. If God tells you not to do it, you need to repent of doing it and stop doing it with God's help. And I believe God really wants you to stop. He'll help you. Verse 13, rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. I mean, thank God for that. Thank God he's slow to anger. He would have turned me into a crispy critter a long time ago. For he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity. When you start fasting and paying and repent, he can keep you from judgment. He can keep you from horrible things. You see, he grants mercy. When we repent and pray and humble ourselves with fasting. Verse 17, let the priest say, spare your people, O Lord. Deliver your people, O Lord. Verse 18, then the Lord will be jealous for his land and take pity on his people. Verse 19, the Lord will reply to them, I am sending you grain. When you repent, really start seeking the face of God with praying, fasting, I will send you grain, new wine and oil, enough to satisfy you fully. Verse 20, I will drive the northern army far from you. God says, call a sacred assembly, fast and pray to me, and I will supply your need, every need, and deliver you from Iran and Russia, the northern army. Amen. See, we still got all the same problems they had. When we repent and pray with fasting, God promises to meet every need. I am sending you enough to satisfy you fully. After the 2023 fast, just this past year, we planned a fundraiser. The board and I met, and we began to plan this fundraiser. We felt like it was God telling us to do so. And well, he had already told us to raise $40,000 a year. And so we knew we needed to do it. We planned a fundraiser for the PA system amps and to paint the stucco on the front and to paint the blocks that are painted around the building and to seal the parking lot again. Our first go, of course, was $40,000. That's what the Lord had told us to do each year. But we raised it and the Lord started doubling it. So then we started planning enough so that if he doubled it, we'd have something that we could put it on. And there's plenty of needs around here. Right now, we need to replace all these dimmer switches. And I think that was $150,000 when we put it in. This is an expensive building. And this thing is equipped to have concerts of 2,000 people. And all these air conditioners, all this stuff is expensive stuff. And so anyway, our goal, original goal was 40. And God just started blessing that thing, and we hit 96,000. And we're able to fix and repair and buy all the stuff that we had planned to, and even more. But like I said, we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars to go. But we're going to make it. Can you say amen? And God's making everything work right now, so thank the Lord for it. Listen to this. You may be thinking about, preacher, you just don't know what kind of creep I've been. Listen to this. 2 Chronicles 33:10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. They continued in their wickedness. They would not repent. Verse 11. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. He took this king captive to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord, the Lord his God, and humbled himself greatly with fasting. I believe it doesn't use the word there, but that's the way they humble themselves. Humbling himself greatly, that means he fasted, I believe, 40 days with fasting before God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. You think maybe God's listening to your prayers? Hey, do you think so? Do you believe he's hearing your entreaty? And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty. See, God is moved by our prayers. Where the devil, no matter what the devil's telling you, God hears and answers your prayers. If you said a great big old ugly cuss word, would God hear that? He hears you when you pray. So he brought him back to Jerusalem. Set him free and brought him back and made him king again. Only God could do that. So he brought him back to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. It took a lot to convince him, but he got convinced. This is one of the most wicked kings in Israel's history. Read about him. It tells you how wicked he was. And almost no one in the Bible was as wicked as Manasseh. And yet God forgave him and restored him to his throne when he repented with prayer and fasting. When he humbled himself with fasting, God restored him to his throne. Fasting works. Listen to King David. And we all know about David, but the number one thing we know is his sin with Bathsheba and how he killed her husband. That's the thing that stands out. You know, and he did so many wonderful things, but this one thing, and it really, let's read it. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. Let me appreciate me taking that time to pray for everybody. Amen. Guess what? That took time. So pray for me that I can preach fast and you can hear fast. Can you say amen? 2 Samuel 12, 13, this is good right here. This is good. We need to live a godly life. Nathan replied, "The Lord has taken away your sin. You are not going to die." He was supposed to be stoned to death for what he did. But God relented, had mercy on him, because he's a man of praying and fasting, as you'll see. But because by doing this, you have made the enemies of the Lord show utter contempt. The son born to you will die. After Nathan had gone home, the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife had born to David, and he became ill. Listen, I believe with all of my heart, if we'll serve God and obey God and live godly, God will heal us, deliver us, work miracles in us. But God will not bless sin, ladies and gentlemen. And he doesn't heal everybody. He heals those who serve him and obey him and do his word. He heals all who really puts their faith in his word and believes him and repents of their sin. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted for 7 days. David pleaded with God for the child. He fasted and went into his house and spent the nights laying on the ground. Verse 18, on the seventh day, the child died. You see, there's a price to be paid for sin. But when you repent of it, trust God, because God has got another plan. I want you to see this. This shows the heart of God. And it shows what God does for people who repent. No matter how evil, what an evil thing they've done, if they'll repent and turn from it and be a doer of the word, God has another plan. Amen. Now look at this. Then David got up from the ground. Verse 21, his servants asked him, "Why are you acting like this? While the child was alive, you fasted and wept. But now that the child is dead, you get up and eat and act like nothing happened. And here's his explanation. He answered, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept. I thought, who knows? The Lord may be gracious to me and let the child live. That's how much he believed in praying and fasting and seeking his God. He was saying, really, I have discovered that prayer and fasting always works, so I'm taking my chances, and I'm going to lay here on this ground and fast until God heals the child or until it dies. You see, God had told him the child would die because of his sin. But he knew fasting was prayerful. Who knows? The Lord may be gracious. No matter what you've done, you need to have that attitude. Who knows? The Lord may be gracious. Verse 24, then David comforted his wife, Bathsheba, and he went to her and lay with her. She gave birth to a son, and they named him Solomon. The same two people that committed that horrible, wicked sin, and the same guy that had this man killed, that was Bathsheba's husband. God blessed them when they repented and prayed and fasted and gave them another son that became the greatest king who ever lived. Wonder what God's got for you. Isn't that great? That's our God. It says the Lord loved him, loved Solomon. Look, the Lord was gracious. The first child died, but he gave them another child named Solomon. David repented and fasted 7 days. God honors those who pray, fast, and repent, no matter their past. Condemnation, I think, is probably the most dangerous thing a Christian can allow in their lives. Condemning yourself. We're commanded to forgive others, but we all know probably the one that's the most difficult to forgive is we ourselves. And me, myself, I say, well, you should have known better. You've been serving God all these years. You know the power of God. Why did you do that? Why did you act like that? And just got to forgive me. And you got to forgive you. No condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, and if you sin, repent of it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness as if we'd never sinned. So you got to get that condemnation off of you and come boldly before the throne of grace like you ain't never done nothing wrong. Can you say amen? As if you are totally righteous, because in God's eyes you are. As we see, in other places, David lived a lifestyle of praying and fasting. This wasn't the only time he fasted. Look, Psalm 109, verse 4, my knees give way from fasting. See, you can tell which psalms he wrote by looking at the top of the psalm. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. Verse 25, I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Verse 29, help me, O Lord my God. You see, he is praying and fasting. Save me in accordance with your love. Verse 28, they may curse, but you will bless. When they attack, they will be put to shame. But your servant will rejoice. Let me tell you something. When you fast and pray and you do the word and you obey God, ask God to forgive you when you do mess up. I'm telling you right now, God will protect you. And he'll cause your enemies and people that hate you to be ashamed of themselves. And sometimes it'll take them out. I had a guy 2 or 3 years ago. He was over here in the parking lot. And I just turned in to a parking lot. And he jumped out of his car and accused me of turning real fast. I couldn't have turned very quickly. I do like to drive fast. But I couldn't have turned very quickly because it was a sharp 90-degree turn. He jumped out of his car and started yelling at me. And I got out of the car. And I just got right in his face. And I didn't say a whole lot, but the Holy Spirit came on me, and I felt a protective realm around me, and finally got back in his car and left, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You'll never see that guy again. You better not mess with God's people, and they better not, if you're God's people, they better not mess with you." Let me read it again. Did some of you go to sleep? Wake up. Turn the mic up so I can wake them up. Verse 28. They may curse, but you'll bless. When they attack, they'll be put to shame. Amen. Well, what do you think that means? I think you better leave me alone. That's what I think. And I think people don't like you, better leave you alone. That's what I think. Because we're the people of God. So when you're a preacher, it doesn't make any difference. We're all the people of God. Touch not mine anointed. And when it says that, it's talking about all his people. And then it says, do my prophets no harm. So there's the preacher. But you cannot touch God's anointed and brag about it. God's going to, vengeance is mine. David knew fasting worked. He fasted to have victory over his enemies. He didn't get all upset when he had an enemy. He just prayed it through and got victory. Look at Goliath. He told Goliath by faith. He said, I'm going to feed you to the birds. Okay, that was speaking by faith, ladies and gentlemen. This dude was 9 feet tall, and David, according to what the scripture said, was just a teenager. Psalm 35, verse 13. Yet when they were ill, this is David again, running out of time. Yet when they were ill, I put on sackcloth and humbled myself with fasting. You see, David fasted for his friends when they were sick. Fasting was his lifestyle. Why? It works. No matter what a mess we have made, everything can be restored through praying and fasting and meditating on God's word, hearing and obeying God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, humble themselves with fasting and pray, and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Listen. This is the day of atonement, which Paul called the fast. And I read that just in a sermon just Sunday or two ago. This is fast. So that day they fasted. All the Jews fasted on that day, fasting food. And notice the word is humble. They humbled themselves with fasting because it was a day of fasting for the Jews. Bill Bright, director of Campus Crusade, he's gone to heaven now, said nothing else can compare with the supernatural power released when we fast and pray. He also said, not only will fasting and prayer transform an individual or church, it can change the course of a nation. That's Bill Bright, The Coming Revival, and it's the New Life publication, 1995. And he went across this country challenging all of his preachers to fast 40 days. And I was just fasting 21 back then. And so he's one of the reasons I upped my fast. I felt like God wanted me to, but he inspired me. The pilgrims in April 1630 had no rain for 12 weeks. They met in the blockhouse, fasted and prayed just for a few hours. And it started raining and rained for 14 days. And they would have starved to death if that hadn't happened, because there wasn't a Kroger's down the road. They were over here sitting on the coast by themselves. They changed history. You see, they came to escape persecution, and they did not have slaves. This is where the United States really began. It was built on freedom and not slavery. Can you say amen? Of course, the whole world back then had slaves. Somebody came by and dropped off a few slaves on the East Coast. And so somebody came up with this theory that the whole nation of America was built on slavery. There wasn't a nation of America then. There wasn't the United States then. It was British colonies. Yes, some of them had slaves, but guess what happened? We fought a war that killed, counting those who died from starvation and illness, about a million Americans died setting the captives free. And after the slaves were set free, America became the greatest nation in the world. You got people today whipping up hate because they're Marxists. They want to destroy this country. And they go back and they hate people who's been dead 150 years. I'm telling you right now, if we want God to bless us and bless this nation, we got to get rid of this hate. Amen. And I'm not going to go to hell hating somebody and carrying grudges against somebody that's been dead 150 years. Amen. Yes, it was sin. Yes, it's rebellion against God, but it got fixed. Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3 verse 4. On the first day Jonah started into the city, he proclaimed 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. In other words, God is going to destroy you. You're such wicked people. Verse 5. Now these people are Gentiles. This is not Jews. This is not a Jewish city. And by today's standard, they weren't Christians. But God's still holding them accountable. And believe God holds wicked people, wicked nations like Iran and others accountable in Korea. They think they're big shots. God's going to deal with those folks. Verse 5. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. And you say, well, why don't we use sackcloth today? You know why? Because Jesus said, I had to pray about that before God gave me a revelation on it. I didn't understand it. But he said, do not do it to be seen of men. If you've got ashes dumped over your head and got sackcloth on, you're being seen of men. They believe God and turn to fasting. At times, prayer with fasting may be all we have, but it may be all we need. And if we do need anything else, God will give it to us. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destructions he had threatened. He didn't destroy them because they repented, turned from their sins, and fasted and prayed. He saw what they did. He saw their heart, saw the repentance, and he spared them. He said, well, God doesn't change his mind. I don't care what you call it. I just read it. I learned just to believe the book. He did not bring judgment because they did what they knew they needed to do. Repent, fast and pray, and seek God. Prayer with fasting can and will save America if we will do it. And there's people like us all over this country fasting and praying, and part of the mission is to change this nation back to the Bible, back to the truth, away from all the secular humanism and all the teachings to our kids that there's not a God, every man is an accident, he's created by evolution, and all the stuff they've been poisoning the minds of our kids with. We got to fast and pray and believe God to fix that.